I appreciate very much, again, let me say, the opportunity of being here, and I appreciate the humble prayer that's been offered, and I ask that you continue to pray for me for just a little while this evening. I don't intend to keep you a long time, but I hope that you'll pray for me for the time that we're here. Let me say, I appreciate the opportunity of being your good pastor. He and I go back a long, long way. I remember him when he was a little boy. And I've known his mother and father for nearly 50 years. And so I know that you're very appreciative of his labors among you. And I'm happy that he's here with you. And I've never heard him preach anything that I didn't agree with. And so I'll give you that. I'll give you my address. And know how you can send me a note for that. But anyway, I'm thankful to be here and thankful for his and his family's hospitality tonight. So I ask an interest in your prayers. I call your attention tonight to very familiar scripture to you Bible readers in Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, immediately when you talk about falling from grace, the average church member, not particularly our church members, but the average religious-minded person, will think about this teaching, the possibility of eternal apostasy or an eternal falling away. Well, it does teach, in one sense of the word, and apostasy, a falling away, but it does not teach the possibility of eternal falling away. Amen. Now, Paul comes to the region of Galatia, where evidently he has labored in times that have passed, and evidently his labors had been very effective in this region, because he had converted them, and I use that term not meaning regenerating them, but bringing them from one state to another. He had converted them from a sense of law worship to the New Testament experience of worshiping God because of a sacrifice made by Jesus Christ through grace itself. So he has brought them from law to grace. Now, some people have the idea that this just took place like turning off one light and turning on another one. Well, that's not the way it was. There was a transition period that had to be gone through, and even after Paul had preached and labored and had brought many under the canopy of the New Testament, there were still those Judaizing teachers that came in time after time after time and told these whom Paul had converted from law to grace, well, we believe in salvation by grace, but you still got to be circumcised to be saved. That's what they said. Now, I'm going to go to the 15th chapter of the book of Acts and prove that to you in just a moment, but I want you to understand where these churches were. They tottered on the brink of going back under the law. They tottered on the brink of going back under that yoke of bondage. Now, the law was good for what God gave it for. Don't forget that. But it could never expiate, it could never take away one sin. Couldn't do it. The weakness of the law was shown by the repetition of the sacrifice. It had to be done over and over and over again in the right time, at the right way, with the right sacrifices. It had to be done over and over and over again. But the Bible says in Hebrews 10 and 12, but this man, when he'd offered one sacrifice for sin, I affirm to you today that God was so satisfied with that one sacrifice that he never required another sacrifice from that time till this. Now, 1 Peter 1 and 18 says it like this, know ye not that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, or from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, who raised up Jesus from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in him. Now they loved at times to tie back to the traditions of the fathers. Now let me tell you something. Let me just stop right here and say this. There is probably not a more traditionalized Primitive Baptist than me. I freely confess that. I'm probably right close to the top of the list. But I hope that when we talk about tradition, that we're not talking about what grandmother and granddaddy did. When we talk about tradition, we're talking about what is found here, a godly tradition. Now, that's biblical. Now, we have some tradition. Now, there's some folks down in that part of the country think that you can't have a conference but on Saturday for the fourth Sunday at 10 o'clock. Now, they think there's a scripture somewhere that says you can have, the only time you can have a conference is Saturday for the fourth Sunday just after preaching. Well, I got news for you. They ain't one. They're just not a scripture to do that. It's not there. Now, those kind of traditions, I remember one time when we talked about changing song books. Somebody said, are you trying to start World War III? And I didn't believe it, but I do now. You know, I came to believe it. Now, I say it like this, because we were raised to sing out of a little Lloyd hymn book, looked just like this. Had about 648 hymns with no music in it or anything else, and some of our churches still use it. And I can sing out of it good as anybody, better than most. But when we changed that songbook, there's a lady in our church said, we've always used this songbook. It's the Lord's hymn book. Lord, not Lloyd, Lord. She said it's the Lord's hymn book. And she never came back to church after that, because we had violated the principle of Scripture from using a book with notes in it. Now, the Lord's hymn book was printed in 1841 in Greenville, Alabama. If you're going to seek out the old paths, brother, you got to go back a long way before 1841. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You got to go back before that. Because if we're going to seek the old paths, and Jeremiah 6:16 tells us to do that, I mean, not anything wrong with that. Bible means what it says. Then we're going to have to go back and find out those paths that are according to God's word laid down for us by the apostles in Jesus Christ. That's where we find old paths, right here. All right, now, I'll not charge you for that. All right, I'll go on. But these people tottered on the brink of going back under the law, going back where they'd been brought out from. Now, Paul warns them about this. He said, I marvel
that you are so soon removed. Read chapter 1. I don't have time to do it. But he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from the gospel that I preached to you to another gospel, which is not a gospel. For if we or an angel from heaven come among you preaching any other gospel other than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. Paul went so far as to say, if an angel comes. You know, that's a stretch. If an angel even comes and doesn't bring this, you let him be accursed. Now, they tottered on the brink of going back. They were about to fall from that which they'd been brought to. And he says, this is a yoke of bondage. Why was it a yoke? The law demanded complete, unwavering, and teetotal perfection. If you violated it in one point, you are guilty of the whole. Now I'll tell you right now, these that brought this among the churches of Galatia taught against what Paul one time believed. Now, Paul said, if any man could live up to the letter of it, he said, I could. He said, I believed I could. If you doubt, you read his pedigree. You read his pedigree in Philippians chapter 2. Circumcised on the eighth day, the tribe of Benjamin, that's touching the law. Blameless as concerning the law itself. He said, I'm a Pharisee. He knew it from start to finish. He really did. But you know what he said about all of that? He said, I count it all but dung, that I may win Christ, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Now, I'm going to tell you, we like the power of the resurrection, but we don't want much of the fellowship of his suffering, do we? That's right. These folks had the ritual, but they didn't have the reality. I'll tell you right now that in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, the apostle Dr. Luke records for us here, and certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, that means they had a big argument, they had some kind of a discussion, and we couldn't imagine what it was. The Bible says they went up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. And the Bible says, but there rose up a certain sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise these Gentiles and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So now they come together in a council. Y'all ever heard of a council? You know, I sat on a council one time. There have been all sorts of peace programs, peace initiatives among our people over the United States. Down South Alabama, all that country was divided one time, and they called for five of us preachers to come down there and sit on a council. And I promised the Lord, if he'd forgive me for that, I'd never be guilty of that no more. Because I'll tell you right now, whatever decision we made, we were going to be wrong with somebody. And we left in worse shape than we came. That's been many years ago. I have learned a few things. But here was the apostles. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a difference in preachers today and apostles then. Don't you forget it. This man's not an apostle. You know, I'm not an apostle. You know, apostles didn't even have to study the Word of God. No, they got it direct. Got it direct. Yes, sir, Jesus told those men, he said, take no thought of what you shall speak, but it shall be given unto you in that hour what you shall say. Yet it will not be you that speaketh, but the Holy Ghost that speaketh in you. You see, they didn't even have to study. Now, Paul couldn't pass that on to Timothy. That's the reason he said, study. He told Timothy to study. You know what that word study means? It means to cut straight. You know that? Paul, he was a professional at cutting things straight. He was a tent maker. Cut straight. You see, study. Cut it straight. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. That needeth not to be ashamed. A workman of God. The man that God has called. Brother, I want to tell you something. I'm going to say this, and I'll be gone tomorrow, thank God. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You know, when you lay hands on a man to preach, you better be careful about that. Here I am. Thank you. We got enough elders. We need preachers. You know what I'm saying? We need preachers. And I'm telling you that there are those that have thought from time to time, bless their sweet heart, and I know I've not preached every time, but I'm going to tell you there have been a few times I have done it. I know the difference when I do and when I don't. Yes, sir, that's right. There had been a few times I didn't think the Lord was in 3 miles of the house. That's the truth. He wasn't there. It's hard to try to preach. You understand me? It's hard to try to preach. It is. But I want to tell you, when the Lord blesses, when the Lord comes down to where you are, divorces your mind from the things that disturb and depress you, and gives you a spirit to set your affection on things above, and gives you a spirit to preach and write and divide the word of truth, in a miraculous way, God transforms this book through this instrument, and in a miraculous way, it comes out the preaching of the gospel. It's a mystery. It's a miracle, and I admit I don't understand it. I admit I don't. It's too far above me. But I'll tell you one thing. That when men begin to think they can do it on their own, you got real problems. You got real problems. Every time God calls a man to preach, he qualifies him to preach. And when God calls a man and qualifies him to preach, bless God, he gives him a field to labor in. He does that every time without exception. And that fellow don't have to open doors. You know what? You study about opening doors. You study about when God opened doors. Every time God opened a door. Every time. Now, I've tried to open a few myself. Sometimes it didn't work. But I'll tell you right now, when God opens the door, there's going to be a successful ministry there. When God opens a door. All right, here were some folks now that had to defend what they'd preach. The apostles now, I'm going to quit here just a little bit, all right? I'm not going to keep you long, but I'm just here. I want you to get this picture. All right, now, these men have rose up and they preached against what the apostles have preached. When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know that how a good while ago God made choice among us. Who's the us? The apostles. All right? The apostles. God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Where'd that happen? Go back to Acts chapter 10. And you'll find where God opened that door and qualified. And Peter had a miraculous experience there on a housetop. All right? But now listen to this. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them, that is the Gentiles, the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now here's going to be the most important thing I say tonight in verse 10. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke? You see it? Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now he says, why tempt ye God to put a yoke? Put this yoke back on them. Put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. He says they couldn't bear it. He said it's a yoke that they could not bear. The law was a yoke that they could not bear. Now he says, be not entangled again. You know what that word entangled comes from? A hangman's noose. Check it out. That's what it meant. Be not entangled again. A hangman's noose. That's right. Don't be entangled again with that. You know what the Bible tells me? You young folks again, they hear you old folks for that matter. You know why he says, flee youthful lust. You know what that means? Run from it. Run from it. It's war against the soul. It's a yoke. Now some folks, they've got yokes that's hard to bear. Some it may be alcohol. Some it may be dope. Some it can be this, that, or the other. I want to tell you, there's some folks that
have a yoke that they can't bear, and it's called religion. Amen. There's some folks, they are preachers, men that are called preachers, that will stand behind a book board and they'll put a yoke on the neck of God's children that they cannot bear. They'll do it. They tell you if you'll do your part, God will do his. I want to tell you right now, God's going to do his. He's already done it. Amen. Doesn't change a thing what you do about God's work. Not a thing. No, sir. That sacrifice that Christ made, bless your sweetheart, God never required. God was so satisfied with that sacrifice that he never required another sacrifice. Never did. And here, these folks were trying to put a yoke on the neck of the disciples that they couldn't bear, their fathers couldn't bear. And he said, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. He said, don't go back unto that. It's a yoke that you cannot bear. It cannot be borne by you. Brothers and sisters, I say to you today, if you're trying to live up to what the law demands, if you're trying to live up to all the demands of the law itself, I got to tell you, you're in a failing situation. You can't meet what it demands. No, sir. You can't meet it. I'm going to tell you today that where you failed, Jesus Christ was a complete and total success. His sacrifice at Calvary was successful. Not only was it successful, but it was sufficient. A sufficient sacrifice, a sacrifice that was a self-sacrifice by him, yet an eternal purpose of God, and it fulfilled every demand, every condition that the law demanded. Jesus Christ met that with that sacrifice. Every condition. Hebrews 9:26 says that he appeared once in the end of the world. You mean to tell me he appeared in the end of the world? The end of the age. That word world right there means age. In the end of the Mosaical economy, Jesus Christ made a real physical appearance. He appeared once in the end of that world. In the end of that age, Jesus Christ made his appearance, made his sacrifice. And I tell you that the Bible tells me in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, listen to the terminology now that he uses in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. I'll tell you, there's never been a shadow that didn't have a light behind it somewhere. That's a prerequisite for a shadow. You know where that light began? I'll tell you back there when he talked about the seed of the woman. Talked about the seed of the woman. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10 says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, peacemaker, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Numbers 24 and 17. The Bible said, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. For there shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall arise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth. That light began to grow brighter and brighter and brighter until Isaiah could come on the scene, and Isaiah 7:14 said, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. The Lord himself is going to give you a sign. A virgin's going to conceive and bring forth a son, and you're going to call his name Emmanuel, which means God's with us. I'll tell you right now, the Jews require a sign. Do you know what Jesus said? It's adulterous generation that seeketh after a sign. Read Matthew chapter 12. It's an adulterous, a wicked and adulterous generation that seeketh after a sign, but no sign shall going to be given but the sign of a disobedient prophet named Jonah. Yeah, named Jonah. And as Jonah lay in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, even so must the Son of Man lay in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. He says, the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. But he said, a greater than Jonah's here. A greater than Jonah's here. Oh, the Queen of Sheba came from the south to hear the wisdom of Solomon, but a greater than Solomon's here. Yeah, who is it? God with us, Emmanuel. Now listen to Isaiah 9:6. He says it like this, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now the child is born, but the son was given, you see. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Let me just say this, the government of all things rests on his shoulders.
I don't care. Mr. Trump can build a wall from here to California if he wants to, but I want to tell you right now, that won't establish the government anymore. Amen? No, sir, I won't do it one bit more. The government of all things, every governing authority doesn't belong to the President of the United States, the Supreme Court, or anybody else. The governing authority in all the universe, in every age, belongs to God Himself. Yes, sir, to God Himself. Now, I'll tell you right now, what God doesn't cause, He suffers to be. You hear me? Now, you call me what you want to, all right? What God doesn't cause, He suffers to be. Yes, sir. God's not the author of sin, but He suffers sin to be. Yes, sir. That's right. Now, let's go a little further. That's overtime. All right, here we go. He says, they offered year by year continually. The law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of those things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. You see? Couldn't do it. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Couldn't do it. But I want to tell you right now, he said, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written, I come to do thy will, O God. For by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. One time for all the sanctified. One time for all those who are set apart. One sacrifice was required, and God honored that sacrifice as a full and complete payment for sin. He just didn't make a down payment and you paying the rest of it out on an installment plan. It doesn't work that way. But what he did, he made a full and complete payment for sin. P-I-F. That's what it is. Paid in full. You see, I want you to understand that Christ did that. And as Christ did that, he said it like this, beginning with Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. For God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, here is the end of the world again, in these last days, not in the last days, we may be living in the last days, but that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about the last days of the law of dispensation. He said, for God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us, the apostles, by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and by whom he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Don't you like this next verse? When he by himself had purged our sins, sat down. Now, when you look at the tabernacle, you're going to find a lot of beautiful artifacts, but you'll never find a chair. You'll never find a chair. You know why? Because it wasn't a place for the priest to sit down. He was in a continual state of sacrificing. It was a never-ending process. But this man, because he had completed all things that God required of him, meeting every condition that the law demanded, could sit down. Because God honored that sacrifice, never another sacrifice to be made. Now, Paul says, don't go back under that other system. Don't go back. It's a yoke to you. Then neither we nor our fathers were able to bear. Now, as he began to talk about that, he said, if you do, he said, you're obligated to do the whole law. You're obligated to every part of it. If you're going to be circumcised, you're obligated. You're obligated to do the whole law. You're a debtor to it. A debtor. And he said, if you do that, you're fallen from grace. He didn't say you'd fell out of grace. He didn't say you'd lost eternal life. But he did say you're fallen from that which you'd been brought to. You had been saved or delivered out of the bondage of the law and brought into the marvelous reality of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessing that is to hear the gospel preached. And know that in the gospel there is freedom. There is a freedom from the bondage and the slavery of sin. There's a freedom to be had, my friend, in understanding and knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ has delivered you from all things that would doom you and damn you in hell forever. Now, I want you to understand God would be perfectly just and right to doom you forever. He's not obligated to you. There's some folks have the idea God's obligated to save everybody. Listen, God's not obligated to save anybody. He's not obligated to save you. You can do all you can do. You can do the best you can. It's not enough. You see, you can't satisfy God. It's not enough. There's something about you, and it's called sin. And I'll tell you right now, that sin invades everything you do.
Somebody said, asked me one time, before men ever went to the moon, you know, that's been a long time ago. A lot of folks still don't think they went. My granddad never did believe they went to the moon. No, he said they're out in Arizona somewhere in the desert. Amen, yeah. Yeah, going to the moon. They said, what do you think is going to happen when you go to the moon? I said, well, the very first thing you better do is clean them off the place for a cemetery up there. Amen. You know why? Because if you're going to carry death with you. You see, it's in you. Death's with you. Wherever men are at, men are dying. Before there was a law given, men died. You hear me? Read Romans 5:14. It's that? Yeah. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them who had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Yes, sir. Men were dying before there was a law given because Adam, now a fellow told me a while back, he said, Brother Rick, he said, you preach total depravity. He said, what do you mean by that? Men's as bad as they can be. Listen, no man's bad as he can be. You get that? When we talk about total depravity, we're not saying a man's as bad as he can be. No man can be as bad as he can be. When we talk about total depravity, we are saying that no man by himself, on his own, by an act of his own volition, can come to Christ. He is totally incapable of doing that. He cannot establish a relationship with God on his own. He does not have that capability because of his fallen state. Now, this man said, well, why would I be held accountable for what somebody else did? Yeah, why? He said, I said, do you believe Adam died? Do you believe he transgressed? Yeah, but he said, that's as far as it went. It was personal with Adam. That's as far as it went. Well, you can believe that if you want to. That's not what the Bible says. You know, the Bible says in Romans 5:12, for by one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, you are a sinner not because your mother and daddy sinned. No, you're a sinner because Adam sinned. You see, you're a sinner because Adam sinned. That transgression plunged you and all his posterity into sin and death because he stood as head and legal representative of all his offspring. Yes, sir. And you can stand back and say all you want to, I didn't have anything to do with what Adam did, and that'd be the truth. You didn't have anything to do with what he did, but you've certainly been affected by his decision. You've certainly been affected by what he did. Now, by that same token, you didn't have anything to do with what Christ did. But you've certainly been affected by what he did because he stood as your head and legal representative. You've been affected by what he did. You've been cleansed from your sin. It wasn't the law. It couldn't do it. You couldn't live up to it. But that one sacrifice that Christ made was what God required, and God honored that sacrifice. Now I close with this. That sacrifice was made. Don't go back under that yoke. Paul preached to these folks that, and that's good for you today. We don't need to go back under those kind of yokes, whatever that may be. Now, what did he tell us to do? All right, Romans 12:1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. The law always gendered to death. It demanded a dead sacrifice. But I want to tell you, when Christ died, fulfilling all of that, the Lord Jesus says now through the inspired apostle, I beseech you therefore, brethren, with the strongest language that he had, I beseech you therefore, brethren, how? By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you rather transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Somebody said, well, I tell you, preacher, I'm not conformed to this world. Give me a break, brother. Are y'all with me?
If you tell me, you tell that to your grandma, somebody, they'll believe things somebody else won't believe sometimes. I got to tell you, all of us conform to this world to some degree. I don't care who you are. But I want to tell you right now, the Bible says this, to present your bodies, not your spirit, your body. I may have said it here. I've said it a lot of places. You ever heard somebody say when they come to church, can't if they're not here, now, Brother Ricky, I can't be at church on meeting day, but I'll be there in spirit. Amen. You know, I kind of scared.
Yeah, that's real
scary. Yeah. You folks show up in spirit tomorrow. I'm out of here, brother. I'm gone to Alabama. Amen. I'm not coming around where there's no spirits at. You know, I mean, I'm too shaky. I'm like those apostles. You know, they got scared about all that on one night out on a boat. Yeah, they got afraid. Well, I'll tell you, I'm scary enough that I don't need part of this spirit world business. But you know what? The Bible tells me you present your body as a living, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, what do you call it? Which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you rather transformed. You know what that means? Move across. Trans World Airline, move across. Do you remember? Yeah, move across it. Be not conformed or formed with, but move across it. Formed with. You see, formed with. Be not conformed. Don't be conformed to it. But he said, be you transformed. Move across it. That you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Paul, in principle, preached this to all these people where he went. To the Stoics, to the Epicureans, he preached the truth. And he met with much opposition. They had a hard time with these preachers. You know, they put Paul in jail and he baptized a jailer, didn't he? Amen. Put him in jail and baptized a jailer. Tell Peter, don't you speak in the name of the Lord. And after they told him that, they went down there and said, well, he's back at it again. He's out yonder preaching again. Oh, he had a hard time with it. But I want to tell you one thing. What they began to understand and what they began to see was that you and I have a blessing today in rejoicing in the finished work of Christ. And it's not a yoke for us. It's an easy yoke for us now. Amen. That was a yoke of bondage back there. But you know what Jesus said? Read Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He didn't say I'll give you eternal life. Oh, that's a favorite text of the Arminian camp. And the consistent Arminian will say, that goes out to everybody. No, it don't. It goes out to those who are laboring and heavy laden, and that's all you can get in it. Now, if you're laboring and heavy laden, I've got some good news for you. Yeah, I've got some good news for you. You not only got life, but you got a place to go.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Come unto me. Come unto me. Now, just a while ago, he said, no man can come. But now he says, you come. Who? You who are laboring and heavy laden. All you that labor and are heavy laden, you come unto me. And I'm not going to give you eternal life, but I'll give you rest. And he said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke. Now, not the law. Not like this one, that's like a noose. But he says, take my yoke upon you. Why? Because my yoke's easy. My yoke's easy. And the burden's light. Today, if you're here and you feel to be under the condemnation of sin, I tell you right now, I know you may feel bad, but you're in good shape. You hear me? I was preaching in Nashville, Tennessee, and I went out and I preached about what rotten bankrupt sinners are, and I was standing back there at the door, and this fellow came out and he said, Brother Ricky, you know, you can't go many places and hear what a rotten bankrupt sinner you are and leave shouting happy about it. But you know what? When you begin to understand and see what you are and then see what Christ is, I'll tell you, there's joy in the camp. Amen. It's not a yoke, but I'll tell you, it's a place of rest. And what a blessing that is for us today. Thank you, and may God bless you, Brother Mike.